Well, hello and welcome again to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of the Wash and Word. This ministry is brought to you by the car washing business in Church Hill. We are the Wash and Word. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the hand car washing business, and you can find us in the Palace Shopping Center on Highway 11W in Church Hill. And we invite you to come by, and by coming by and allowing us to work on your car and to clean it up, you are supporting this ministry. We never ask for any kind of tithes or charity or donations or anything of that nature. We simply are working so that we can get God's word out into the public through as many venues and avenues as we possibly can. And so what we do here at the Wash and Word is we do these verse-by-verse Bible teachings, and we let them air. Well, there are several places you can hear them. You can go to WMCH 1260 AM radio here in this area. If you tune to WMCH 1260 AM Monday through Friday at 8:30, you can hear these messages on the radio. You can go to the washandword.com website and hear them. You can hear all of them that we've done so far. We have them archived under the media tab, so just go to washandword.com. There you can also find out a lot of information about the business and the ministry. And the third and probably most unique way for hearing these messages is simply come to the parking lot of the business. We play these messages on a loop on 107.1 FM. All you have to do is turn on your car radio, whether you're sitting there maybe eating your lunch or you're in line waiting to get your car washed. You know, anywhere in the vicinity of this parking lot, these messages go forth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we do this because we want to get God's word into the ears of as many people as we possibly can. And we know that not everyone goes to church, or maybe not everyone's getting fed the verse-by-verse style of teaching in their churches. And here at the Wash and Word, we believe that this is the most effective way to properly equip the saints of God. And so this is what we're doing. And we are currently in a four-part message on chapters 9 of Ecclesiastes, verses 1 through 12. Now, we read verses 1 through 12 a few messages ago. So again, you can go to washandword.com and listen to the last few messages on verses 1 through 12. So we're not going to reread them. But in short summary, Solomon switched gears when he got to chapter 9 and began talking about death. And over the course of the last three messages, we've been talking a lot about death and a lot about the reality of it. And mainly, we've been discussing the result of that reality. And in short, the result of that reality, that is the reality of death, should do something to you. I mean, it should do something to all of us. It should stir us. And whether it stirs us in the wrong direction or the right direction, whatever that may be in your eyes, it should still stir us. And Solomon made a very interesting statement back in chapter 7 when he said that it is wise to be in the house of mourning. And we've been talking about that because the house of mourning, or the house of death, or the house of the thought of the reality of death, you know, all this stuff is grouped into the same concept that our lives are going to be cut short one day. And because of that truth, how does that affect the way that you live? Or does it affect the way that you live at all? And this is what we've been discussing over these last few messages. And by way of quick recap, we saw that in the house of mourning, that is, in that place of the reality of death, that time of reflection. And remember, we said nobody should live in the house of mourning, for that would lead only to depression and lethargy and probably laziness. We don't live in the house of mourning, but we go to visit. It's kind of like like a mother or father-in-law. You know, you don't want to live there, but sometimes you just got to go and visit. And that's the concept here. Sometimes you have to go and visit the house of mourning. And, you know, that's just another way of saying sometimes we have to sit quietly before God. We have to reflect upon our lives, upon the mortality of our lives, reflect upon the direction of our lives, reflect upon, you know, all of those things. And most of us, and this is the way Satan has created, has altered, I should say, this world, most of us are just too busy to take that time. But friends, visiting the house of mourning isn't an option. God brings us there on purpose if we don't bring ourselves there on purpose. God will orchestrate us because God knows there's healing in the house of mourning. There's healing in the place of reflection of your own mortality. And in that place, that house of mourning, that concept of death, we talked about how it should change our conversation. You know, we shouldn't be talking about the same things that we have been talking about our whole lives in context of our mortality. It should change also our calculation, the things that we're doing. It should change the course of our life. It should change the control, that is, knowing that we don't have control. And while these moments of reflection change our lives, change our direction, change our thoughts, we have to remember that the reality is, as James said, we are just a mist. Here today, gone tomorrow. And let us focus, because for once we were blind and now we can see. Once we were dead and now we are alive in Christ. And so I did something that, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and ruin it for a whole lot of preachers and pastors and teachers out there right now. They'll probably, if they hear, they're going to get mad at me for letting out on this secret. But here's the big secret. We don't always practice what we preach. And, you know, yeah, that's probably a form of hypocrisy. But, I mean, think about it. If you're a pastor or a preacher, especially one like me that preaches verse by verse and who will eventually preach the entire Bible, okay? If I practiced everything I preached, then I would be perfect. I mean, because if I'm preaching the whole word, I would have to live the whole word perfectly to not be a hypocrite of the things that I'm teaching. Now, that being said, that's not an excuse not to practice what we preach. But the reality is, a lot of us that are preaching, we love to tell you all what you should be thinking, how or what you should be doing, or how you should be acting. And then we fail to listen to our own messages for one reason or another. Well, I'm taking this one to heart today. And so I'm praying on this. I'm meditating on this. What or how would I live as though I have been rescued and that this may be my last day? And that's how I want to focus out the rest of our time together. And in our next message, we'll go ahead and move on to verses 13. But this is the fourth and final installment of verses 1 through 12 of chapter 9 in Ecclesiastes. So, for me, maybe it applies to you, maybe it doesn't, but for me, when I pray and I meditate and I think about the reality that I was blind and now I can see, that I was once lost and now I am saved, and I combine that with the reality, as James says, that my life is nothing but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. And when I put together the reality of my salvation and the reality of my mortality, I can only think of one way that I should be living. And maybe this applies to you. And that is that I should probably show gratitude to God. I mean, isn't that a good place to start? When you think about where we were before we got saved, when we think about how blind we were, when we think about what is waiting for us, we should show gratitude to God. Now, there are a lot of ways to show gratitude to God, but I want you to start thinking about your bedroom floor. I want you to think that your bedroom floor is electrically charged, and that the moment your feet hit the floor in the morning, you get zapped because your floor is electrically charged. Now, translate that, until you remember that the moment you hit your feet to the floor, you should thank God, because each day is a gift. It is a gift of life. Let your feet hit the floor. Let it, if it was electrically charged, it would remind you, but try to remind yourself the moment your feet hit the floor to thank God for the gift of that day, the gift of life. Hebrews 12:28 says it perfectly. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and prayer. You guys know the story of Jesus with the 10 lepers. He was traveling, this is Luke 17, he was traveling along the border from Samaria to Galilee, and he was going to a village, and these 10 men with leprosy approached him. And they stood off at a distance, and they called out, you know, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy and pity on us. When he saw them, he said to them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And they did that. And when they came back, well, when they did that, I should say, they were cleansed. But only one of them came back. And he came back praising God, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him, and he wanted to follow after Jesus. And Jesus' response was, well, where are the other nine? I healed 10 of you, and only one came back. Well, this man got up, and you know, Jesus said, go, your faith has made you well. But I've always wondered, why did only one cleansed leper return to thank Jesus? Well, here are 9 reasons why perhaps suggested that these guys didn't come back, and maybe they might apply to you when it comes to giving God gratitude each day. Well, one leper waited to see if the cure was real. One waited to see if it would last. One said that he would just see Jesus later. One decided that he never had leprosy to begin with. One said that he would have gotten well anyway. One gave glory to the priests that actually healed him. One said, oh, well, Jesus didn't really do anything. One said, any rabbi could have done that. And another said, I was already much improved. Point is, let's not make excuses for giving God glory and gratitude. The second thing I would do, if this was the last of my days, I would practice generous giving. That is, the giving of myself, a drink or offering, pouring oneself out wholly and completely to the work of the Lord and of the kingdom. Philippians 2:17, I live by Paul's proclamation, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And later, talking to Timothy, Paul says, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. Paul recognized that to give back is to pour himself out. So we would practice showing gratitude to God, practice generous giving, and practice becoming a gospel geek. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. Just get out there and develop simplistic methods of sharing the gospel with others, your witness with others. Like a computer geek or a math geek, it's their life. It's everything that they are. It's the only thing that they know. Well, that is your life in Christ. It's all that should matter, and it's the only thing that should consume you to the rest of the world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach, and woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. So friends, putting those together, we have gratitude plus giving plus gospel. Gratitude plus giving plus gospel equals, well, what is left? You tell me. Because when you do these 3 things, gratitude and giving and the gospel, well, then you have perspective, priority, and you have purpose. Please let that sink in today. Give God the gratitude, the giving of yourself, and give out the gospel. That will bring perspective, priority, and purpose. Well, that's the end of verses 1 through 12. It was a 4-part mini-series. I hope you got something out of it. If you did, come by the Wash and Word. Let us know you're listening to these sermons on the radio. It would really encourage us. And we just invite you to come on by and say hi, get your car washed. Just come by the parking lot, put on 107.1 FM. You can hear these messages and others. And just remember, we're here because we love the word. We love you. Have a blessed day.